Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Remember that one? Remember that one? It's a familiar song in America, particularly among Protestants. It's in almost every Protestant hymnal. The problem is that there never was an old-time religion. It never existed. This is a false narrative. The song expresses a longing for a time when religion was comfortable and knowable, and it was from the past and was free of conflict. It's a stable religion. There never was such a Christian religion. It never existed. True faith in every generation is full of conflict. It was always that way. It's still that way today. There's always been a conflict between the world and the church. Always. There was never a time when it wasn't that way. The world wants to control the church and change our religion. Our faith seeks to change the world. The world rejects our religion, and our religion rejects worldly values. The cross is our inevitable destiny and hope. Recall the temptation of Jesus by Satan. Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." All these I will give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. Do you hear the conflict? And the conflict between our faith and the world repeats itself every day and every week and every generation, as we've even been seeing every day on television and in our political conventions. That conflict between the church and the world is alive and well today. And in today's gospel, Jesus and the 12 disciples are in exactly the same location they were in last week. As we heard in the gospel, they were in Caesarea Philippi still. And the time of Jesus' earthly ministry has come to an end. Caesarea Philippi was one of the most pagan, most sinful places in all of Palestine. It had a history of human sacrifices, adults and children at the Temple of Pan, which was built directly in front of the Gate of Hell, which was a large cave that went directly vertical, and they would throw humans down there. No respectable Jew or Israelite would ever go there. They wouldn't be caught dead there. Or they would face a serious purification ritual before they could be reunited with their families, their community, their synagogue. It was an evil place. The disciples had never been there. Recall that it was here that Simon responded to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Those were the words immediately before today's gospel. Now, how did Simon Peter hear these words? Remember that Simon was an Israelite. And the word Messiah also carried a very strong political meaning for Israelites and Jews. Simon, Judas, and perhaps several of the other disciples still hoped that Jesus would be the political champion, the political Messiah, who would free the Israelites and Jews from the Romans and toss the pagans out. They would conquer and throw out the invaders of Israel, and the Messiah would bring them back to their old-time religion, a political solution. That's what they were looking for. Still in front of that massive cliff on Mount Hermon, in front of the Temple of Pan and the Gate of Hell, Jesus attempted to tell them of what was coming. And he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter has been listening, but with the ears of his political world that is waiting for a political Messiah, a worldly conqueror. And then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." And Jesus responded, like he did to Satan, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Remember, just moments before, Jesus was telling Peter he would receive the keys to the kingdom, and be the rock foundation of Jesus' church. If this conversation is jarring for you, imagine how it was for Peter, standing in front of that rock wall and in front of the gate of hell. Our faith is always a challenge to the world, and the world is always trying to dominate and control our faith, just like Satan did with Jesus at the temptation. Beware of conversations that mix politics and religion. It never works. Politics and religion do not mix. Politics will always seek to control and change the church, always. There is no possible compromise. Our faith expects us to change the world and the world's values, not the other way around. If you've been watching the riots and the political conventions on television, then this should be very clear to you. We have examples every day of what we're talking about here. When Satan promised Jesus he would give him the world, Jesus knew. He told Satan, "Get away." Now, Peter was mixing politics with religion. When I hear people criticizing the church today, I often hear things like, "Oh, the church is old-fashioned. It's obsolete. It needs to come into the modern world. They don't understand America." Have you heard some things like this? Once in a while, we hear things like this, right? Well, the church has always, in every generation, for 2,000 years, had to find its way in a world that wants to change it, control it, or destroy it. Look what happened with the Protestant Reformation beginning about 500 years ago. There were some good motives at the beginning of it. They wanted to change the church, and they did. And the politicians got involved and supported it. And the Protestant churches have eliminated over the past 500 years the sacramental life of those who previously enjoyed the sacraments in the church. They've abolished all the sacraments except baptism. Jesus and his apostles left us 7 sacraments. The Protestants eliminated the sacrament of holy orders, bishops, priests, and deacons. They eliminated the Eucharist as the body and blood of Jesus. They did away with the sacrament of confession. They eliminated the anointing of the sick. Just in the last 100 years, they ceased teaching marriage as a sacrament of the church. They wanted to change the faith of the church, and they succeeded. Ask a Protestant what a sacrament is. Ask him for any one of the 7 sacraments and see what kind of response you get. But what is the church that Jesus founded without the sacramental life of the church? There was never an old-time religion without the sacramental life of the church. Watch in your own lives as friends and family members and people walk away from the church. We've all seen it. They walked away from the church and the sacraments that Jesus gave us when he told Peter, standing in front of the temple of Pan and the gate of hell, "You are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell of the netherworld will never prevail against it." It was there at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus told his disciples, before departing for Jerusalem, his crucifixion, his passion, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?"